And a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you all as we walk around the backyard and see who we can find out in the lawn this morning and what we can get done in the landscape. I tell you what, I am happy to be in Arizona. I've got a cousin who lives in Colorado, and I texted him last night as the grim, the light grew dimmer for the Buffalo as they were in the Pac-10 Conference Championship. I kind of sent my condolences to him as I was dozing off, and he said, "Oh, it wasn't as bad. The cold sting of that game wasn't as bad as the 7 degrees it says on the outside right now." And I thought, "It's 40 here. I can't be happier to be in Arizona."
I just brought your little sister up.
We've got Jay Harper of Harper's Nursery on in the studio. If you've got a question, they're already lining up at 1-888-767-4348. Because yes, in Arizona in December, we still have lawns if you're below the rim. We've got prime time for our gardens. Our evergreen citrus are just about to come into full bloom. What more could you ask for a
it's about
frosty
perfect.
Winter.
It's about perfect.
Well, we've been wanting cooler weather, too, and we finally got that. So it's just, mid-60-degree days, 40-degree nights, pretty nice. Winter gardens should be looking just fantastic. Probably harvesting a little lettuce and some things like that already. Make sure you're keeping those winter lawns fertilized so that they stay nice and green. If we do get a frost or two, that can yellow them out if they're not in good nutritious health. So just keep on plugging. There's lots of stuff we can do. This is a great time to plant cold hardy tree shrubs and vines. I mean, shade trees, basic landscape shrubs, pretty much everything but maybe hibiscus and some of the few more tender things. This is just a great time to get them in the ground because that soil's still relatively warm and the air's nice and cool, and they don't stress out because of lack of water. You don't have to water them very much to get them established, and come next spring they're acclimated and they get a jump start on things and they're well rooted. So lots
to
do.
Not to mention the labor's a lot nicer to do this time.
Oh my heavens, yeah. The other day when it's kind of cloudy and we had a little spritzing of rain, and I thought, boy, this is the kind of weather I really like to work in the garden in. You have maybe a long sleeve shirt or maybe even a sweatshirt on, and you're still not sweating. So it's just perfect. And then, of course, this is the time of year that everybody's given poinsettias and Christmas cactus and those types of things as gift plants. So we would love to have calls about that if people want to know how to care for those properly. Picking out a fresh Christmas tree, my advice there is make sure it's fresh before you take it home. I see a lot of them sitting out in a parking lot kind of getting baked by the sun, so make sure you're buying a good fresh one before you get it home, because it doesn't matter what you do.
Jay, do you know if there's a trick to when you buy? We've been watching, see when the lots come up. If you were to buy one now, do they keep bringing in fresh cut ones, or are they the same ones that are just there all, all the weeks ahead of time?
Well, by now, everything that a lot is going to get has been cut. It may still be sitting on the ground somewhere in Oregon or someplace. They cut them, they pack them in snow. They're in good shape. But I think the biggest thing is how the lots treat them once they get them.
What's a good way to treat them?
Well, they need to be shaded. They need to be covered in burlap. They need to be, if they're standing up, they need to be in a stand that has water. They need to offer, or shouldn't even offer, they should give it a fresh cut when you buy it and take it home. If it's going to be a couple of days before you put it up after you get it home, I'd give it another little fresh cut. Keep it in water the whole time you have it until you get it put up. And then make sure the stand you have holds water and stays full of water the whole time you have it.
Do you like the idea of dunking them in the pool?
If it's just going to be like for the afternoon, or you're going to buy it this afternoon and you're going to put it up tomorrow, sure. Longer than that, the chlorine or the whatever you're treating the pool with can have some adverse effect on the needles and the color of the needles. So I wouldn't leave them in there for more than maybe 12 hours or 24 hours top. But sure, it's not a bad way to go. Absolutely.
And what about, what do you put in that basin at the bottom, those tree holders? Do you like just water, or do any of these crazy additives work?
I think, frankly, just water works as well as anything. If you want to add the other stuff to it, it can't hurt anything. And just and make sure the water's not. We've had some people use hot water before. That's a bad idea. That has that does some bad things to the tree. So, just you know, not cold water, kind of tepid, room temperature type water is the way to go. And just make sure that never gets completely dry. As long as that cut end, that stump stays completely submerged in water, it'll be fine. And then, obviously, don't put your tree right by the fireplace or right by the furnace where it's blowing on it.
Looks pretty there.
I know.
We did that one time. That's all it took.
Yeah. It just dries
it lasted
them
a
out.
Week.
Yeah. If that, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, keep it away from a drafty, warm, hot spot, and you'll be fine.
To get in touch with the studio, you call our universal toll-free number, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions to 411-923. If you need help with a little plant or insect identification, you can email pictures and videos to info@rosieonthehouse.com. Chris is online first from Tempe. Let's see what we can do in Chris's lawn. Good morning, Chris. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a question about ground cover. We let our lawn die off a long time ago and would like to have a lawn again for the dogs, not the people of the house. And I'm interested in something that I think is called dichondra. My grandparents used to have it back when I was a kid before we even moved here from Chicago, and it was beautiful. It looked like little four-leaf clovers that covered the whole lawn. They never had to mow anything. They just watered it and took care of it, and I have never seen it anywhere before or since, and talking to people, I can't even seem to find out what it is, where to get it. I'm not even sure if it's called dichondra and if it's something that would work.
Well, no, dichondra is still around. You don't see it as much as you used to. Typically, the older parts of Phoenix, Tempe, Mesa that had older, maybe a little bit shadier lawns had lots of dichondra. So it can still be grown here. You can seed it. You can grow it from seed. You can buy flats of it or buy it already started and put it in plugs and let it spread together. My concern a little bit with dichondra with dogs, though, is it's not something I would probably plant where I was going to have a lot of traffic or especially dogs running around on it. It, you know, it's a little more tender. As you mentioned, it looks more like it's not a grass. It's a kind of a round-leafed plant. And, you know, it's a wonderful lawn, especially if you've got a little bit of a shady area or you want a little small lawn that you don't want to have to do much to. They do a great job. But I would be hesitant to tell you to use it where I was going to have lots of traffic like dogs.
The new artificial turf, some are made specifically for pet care. That might be something you look into as well, Chris. From Tempe to Tucson, let's bring Daryl into the conversation and see how we can help him this morning. Good morning, Daryl.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
I got a concrete question. I know it's a little off subject, but I've been waiting to call you on this. I had a sidewalk poured for a project. It's a 50-foot sidewalk alongside of my house, and then it comes in and it butts up to my driveway, and then has a couple of places where it butts up to the house. And the person that poured it didn't put the fiber isolation joint in where it abuts up to the driveway, and also to there's about 8 feet where it abuts up to the house. And I noticed that every other sidewalk I've ever seen has that isolation fiber, and I was wondering if that would cause a problem for me in the future.
Well, we do have Rosie here who's with us. Daryl, we'll bring him into the conversation. It still kind of classifies as a landscape question.
Yeah.
I don't think for a sidewalk it's not enough concrete to make an impact.
Romy, you're exactly right. We install that expansion joint material along large areas where we're pouring patios or driveways where the contact between the auxiliary slab, which would be the driveway or the patio or the sidewalk, comes up and joins the foundation of the house. The fact that we're dealing with a 3-foot-wide sidewalk that abuts your driveway, no problem there whatsoever. And then the fact that it only ties in or lays adjacent to the foundation of your house for that 5 to 7 feet, I like putting it up there because it lets me use it as a screed when I'm getting my mud placed. So we always put it there. But the way you have it, it's fine. You're not going to have any bad repercussions because of that.
Thank you, Daryl. We appreciate the call. The number's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. When we clear our line, that's your best opportunity to get on. Hit a few digital questions here. It was a response to our newsletter came this week for Jay. They have two beautiful tomato plants with lots of green fruit. Are they going to ripen in this weather?
Well, they will take a long time to ripen in this weather.
By Easter.
Yeah. I would just say pick them and bring them in the house and put them by the kitchen sink where you got kind of a well-lit, maybe some sun coming through, and they'll probably ripen quicker that way than hanging on the vine out in 40-degree nights. That would be my suggestion. But they'll hang on those vines a long time now and be green without warm enough, especially the cold nights.
Now, I've got a question for you, John. When you do that, do you pick it and leave 4 or 6 inches of stem on there, or does that matter?
You mean a stem attached to the fruit?
Yeah, when you bring it inside to finish letting it ripening on your sink.
I don't know that it makes a lot of difference.
Okay.
Bit of stem on there is fine, but I've never found that it made too much difference, you know, whether they had some on or not. I think you see that in the grocery store for effect more than anything else, so people can see that they were vine ripened, so they still have that little bit of vine or stem attached to the cluster of tomatoes.
Okay. Don't stick them in the fridge.
Yeah, I just didn't know if that was the marketing
people that said that, or if it was the
connoisseurs. I didn't know.
Makes them easier to pick up, I guess.